Today, I also just want to continue just talking more about family, talking more about what we have and what we do. I just realize family is so much attacked in today's society. There's so many good things that comes from family. But it's not the center of attention. There's not so much emphasis on it. We try to emphasize it from a biblical worldview. We know how important it is. We know what the Bible says about honoring your parents. They'll go well, be well with you, and you will live long. There's a lot of promises out there. So when we, and it's such a privilege to do a baby dedication, because that's really that's family. That's how we come together. And there will be more baby dedications in this church. It's not a prophecy, this is something I know. So, when our prayer really is here at Shofar, in this church, that everyone will feel welcome, that they can just be themselves. When I walk into my parents' house, I can go to the fridge, I can open it, and I just take, because it's my home. I'm welcome there. And it's so nice, and that's the same here. This is not somebody's thing. This is our house, the house of God, but we are here. We are family. And there's certain privileges that comes with that. And that's our prayer, just from the start, that everyone will feel welcome. That you will feel like, obviously everyone doesn't have that experience, but for me it was always the thing. I come home from Stellenbosch. My parents stayed here in Goodwood. We are now actually staying in that house. They're just in the back. I rent from my dad. So you keep it in the family. So it's such a blessing. He just wants all the children together. So he's happy. He can walk out the door and he can see all the Gustav, Samuel and Lucy running around. And he's happy. That's for him the best part of his day. But that's such a blessing. That thing, walking into their house. And there's just a freedom. There's just acceptance. Things are just okay. And that's my prayer, that when we come into the house of God, it's not about our baggage. It's not about what we bring. It's not about what happened in our lives. Here we can come with freedom. Here we can come, we can walk in here because of Jesus that died on the cross. Because He paid the price. We don't have to look at our sins and all the things that we've done wrong and keep that in front of us and allow that to be a barrier between us and the Lord. There's a freedom. And I really want to encourage everyone, obviously especially everyone that's a member here, that that's the freedom with what you can walk into this place. And here God speaks to us, and here we have experienced many testimonies already, but we're just thankful for that. It's a privilege. Usually something starts out of a privilege and later it becomes a right and you get a bit casual. So we don't want to do that. We know it's a privilege, everything we've experienced, but we know that God is real and He's in our midst. And just back to this healthy family, I'll speak a bit about the families and healthy families and just in our society, because it's such a challenge where God has prepared everything and He made it perfect. And He designed family life. He designed how everything is going to be. And in today's world, obviously, there's such a big attack against family. Because there's so much worth there. There's so much blessings. There's so spiritual covering. But I'll discuss it a bit more. But it's almost like a Jesus at his birth, when he was still a little baby, the whole world, everything stopped. You remember the stories? Everything, they tried to kill the babies. Suddenly there's a whole commotion. There's so much going on in the world because of Jesus that's coming, because of what he's going to do, because of who he's going to be, the Savior of this world. So obviously everything stopped and it tried to prevent it. And often for me, it seems like that is how it's with families. A healthy family and a family that's working, there's so much blessing in that. So obviously the devil, everything comes against it. Everything wants to stop that. And we are here, we're all part of a family, we've all come from different backgrounds. The good news is, I'm touching on it later on, but God can turn situations around. He's the God of the second chance, and He turns situations around. So I don't want us to sit here and think you've done come about from a, there was a broken relationships or things that happened in our families. I can stand here confident that God turned any situation around. The moment we go to Him, we get closer to Him. The moment we bring Him that, whatever is on our heart, we bring Him everything, He turns the situation around. That's the hope. There's hope and there's faith in hope. And the moment we can't believe for something to change, the moment we can't believe anymore for a situation that it can't change, then we're actually saying that God is not powerful enough to make a difference in that situation. And that's not true. So I really want to encourage you guys. Doesn't matter the background and what happened in the past, God can turn that around. And we can still be confident. In America, the Barry Brazelton, he's a professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School. He said, I was on the National Commission for Children and Families and went around the country looking at what was happening to families and children. And I found that we are the least child and family-oriented society in the civilized world. And we also saw the price that we are paying, angry, contained, unavailable children who can't learn. This was his observation. In society, that's what he's seen in America. And then Hillary Clinton, she said, we have to do everything we can to give children a healthy and supported family environment. And that's really the word says in Proverbs 22, verse 5, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's older, he won't depart from it. So this is all designs that God put in place for our children to grow up in a family environment, in a home, in a place where they can be safe. This is all there. And right from the start, just in Genesis 2:24, where it says, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They create home. That's where home starts. So my home is now a lot different from the day when I got married to Lee. I just think, yes, I had so much time. Now there's just kiddies running. A guy working with me, Bernie, he asked me, Yaku, so when do you have time for this and this? I said, Bernie, before 7 in the morning and after 10 at night, I can do whatever I want to. So it's not so bad, but it's just the planning and stuff gets a bit more tricky. But that's what we also learn in our house. It's not about myself anymore. I know Lee's also, she's the testimonies, is also the kiddies, they just teach her that thing, that unselfishness. It's about other people. Well, you just get drilled into it. It's not about yourself anymore. And it's so many godly things that comes out in the house. That it's just there. It just comes out. So that's just the start. And that's where it's the protection for the children, the companionship. That's where we make covenant. Where we make covenant with God. Like Clinton and Lejean did. How long ago? Month. Yes. That covenant before, I tested you. That covenant we make before witnesses, before people, also like the baby dedication, before people. We're honest about what's going on. We say, we declare in front of God, this is what we want to do. But also the covenant saying God is also involved in our lives. He's committed. He's not leaving us alone. From His side, He's bringing everything. He's giving us everything. And I remember when I was praying for my wife with my friend Potty at a certain time in my life. Yes, we prayed so much about our wives. And then he said, Yaku, God actually wants to give you a wife. You don't have to stress. Just pray about these things, but God is committed. He's committed. It's not like we must make something happen, or it's only us trying to do something. From God's side, there's the commitment. It's there. And really, in the house, that's really a place of acceptance. That's a place where everyone is accepted. Because me and my brothers and my sister, we had lots of fights. But somehow you can resolve the fight. Somehow you're not always happy with everything. But you're not going to chase someone away. It's still everyone is accepted with everything that they bring. With who they are, with their personality, their temperaments, their giftings. Everything. And that's such a nice picture of just the house of God. Where all of us can come together and the unity is just because of God, it's because of the church that we are here. That's the common ground. And the family is a place where our children can be released in their destinies and their callings. So that's just there. In Hebrews 13 verse 4, it said, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. And just one of the commentaries I read is that let marriage be held in honor. It's just a sign. It's such a great price. It's like a pearl of a great value, the marriage. It's just so beautiful. It's so precious. It's so much worthy. And that's, again, just for me a sign where everything is just coming against it, against this institution of marriage, against the institution of where everything is started. And something that I just felt while I was busy with this message, maybe a word for someone with children, but sometimes it's really difficult. I remember moments with each one of our children. It was really difficult moments. You think, what is going on? I remember just coming home from the hospital, sitting on the couch, and I think, okay, it's not only Lee and myself anymore. There's this other one. And things are just different. And Gustav, he knows it. He's a strong-willed child. His name is Gustav. It's God's staff. So he brings righteousness. He tells people where they are wrong. So that's something that you must channel in the right direction. Because now he tells us where we are wrong, and this is not right, and that, and that, and... So it's a good thing. I must just channel it. And that's what he's going to do. And I can see it at school between his friends. He's taking lead. He's the leader. That's his name, God's staff. He brings the correction. And we can pray over him everything. But when he, sometimes it's just really difficult. Because he's still a rough diamond. Going in one direction, and we're going in the other direction. And that strong will is standing up and giving you everything. And then it helps to know that God is not confused, that he knows that Gustav must be in our house. And Lee and myself, we can handle this situation. this was how it's supposed to be. Because sometimes things is just getting difficult. And where each one is just different. Because now you think with Gustav, now you've got to work out a few things. Now this is the routine. This is working. And then Samuel comes. And suddenly, things are not the same anymore. And now after two children, you think, okay, you've worked out some things. And then Lucy came. And Lucy is again a performer, also strong-willed. And she's just going on and doing her own thing. Then I just really realized each child is a science. It's just something that we must trust God for and pray for. But that's just the beauty of family. But just that I just wanted to say for someone that God is not confused. That's just the thing. He knows. He put that child in your house. And even though things might be difficult, that is fine. That's how it was designed to be. And children are a blessing from the Lord. So they come as a gift. They bring a gift. And Psalm 128 said, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion." This is a picture of the man and his eating the fruit of his hands, and his wife is this vine, and his children are like the olives. But it's all things that there's work to be done. You can't just leave the vine. You can't just leave the olive trees. There's things that must happen. We must work at this. We must work at this. At family. The perfect picture is there, and everything is held before us, but we must continue to work at it. I just want to also read 127. Unless the Lord, Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth, and blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. Such a beautiful psalm. But unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Often we know what... I'm very aware of everything that I need, that I must trust God for, or just where I'm... the car that needs to be sorted out, and this, and all the things that's happening. But I'm also aware that I must make God part of my life. I must make God part of my family, of my house. Because unless I'm doing it, I just labor in vain. I'm just going to do a lot of things, and it's not going to work out so well. That's just what the word is saying. This, in the original Hebrew, the word for the house and city is really, it's just talking about small and large families. That's what it's talking about. And the invitation is there to make God part of our house, part of what we do, part of our homes. So we really need to stand up for what we believe. I just want to quickly, from focus on the family, just some of the things that they said, why they invest in families. From the research, they say young people are saying more and more that a happy marriage and family is their most important goal, more important than wealth or a good job. But many people today, they don't know anymore how that family looks. They don't know a happy family. That's just the realities. In marriage, the foundation of the family, a relationship with God designed to last a lifetime. That was the design. That's what God put in front of us. With the support and guidance, couple can build marriages that thrive, no matter what struggles they face. And obviously the parents play a huge role, but then also culture comes in. And culture comes with its own demands and its own things. This is how we do it. I was for a year involved in Delft, and often I will talk to guys and they'll just say, "Yaku, we know the word of God is saying this, but in our culture we do this and this and this and this." And then they will get saved, they will start their relationship with God, and then they will just see that some things in their culture is not from the Lord. And that's in every culture. There's just stuff that starts seeping in, very subtle. And it's our responsibility to also to look at those things, not just to do things because everybody is doing it, because it's like that in our culture, it doesn't make something right. There's another lady, she did a whole study about healthy families, and I'm just going to quickly give you some of her results. She just said that a healthy family best serves the following roles in society. And she looked at poverty, and she said, originally, if the parents doesn't have work, that was the best indicator that there's going to be poverty in the house. And that has actually changed. In the last few decades, a childhood poverty has a closer correlation with family structure and what's happening in the family. And it's not so anymore, it's a father and a mother, are they working or not? It's just changing all the time. They said originally, according to Professor Bill Galston, former domestic policy advisor for President Bill Clinton, never living in poverty in the U.S. required just three primary things. You must finish high school, you must marry before you have children, and marry after the age of 20. And they said only 8% of people that did that later on in life, they became poor. They just look at poverty and link it back to families. And they say that was only 8%. While 79% of those who fail to do these, from the stats, went to poverty. And they just pull it through to the healthy families. They also pull it through a healthy family as a defense against violence. They look at violence in homes and mothers and a lot of different things, where a healthy family protected the people against all of this. Then they went to and they looked at the other research, education, what happens to the children later in life. They also link it back, and crime in the communities. I'm not going to give you all the stats now. But the thing is, there's broken families are all around us, and it's been around in the Bible. There's a lot of examples. So I don't want to put this standard and say, okay, this is not very good and everything. If we look at the Word, and we just look at how many examples there is of broken families, of things that just went wrong from the start. This Isaac, Rebecca, this Esau, Jacob, there was just chaos. And then Jacob went to his uncle Laban, and then he worked for this one woman, and then he realized they didn't give him that one. It's actually the sister. Then he worked for more years. Then it's the other one. And Jacob's oldest son, Reuben, he sleeps with one of his father's concubines, the mother of some of his brothers. And now Jacob's sons, they sold Joseph into slavery. There's all these things. There's so many examples. It's not often that you'll see this is a family that everything worked well, and you don't really read those examples. We read all the other stuff. But what we also read is how he just used the event. How he just turned those situations around every time. How he turned it around. Gideon's son, Abimelech. Samson, that just sees some immorality. Eli's sons, that he didn't discipline them. Everything that David did. Solomon, that has over 1,000 women. So there's all these things, and it's all there, and we can see how God used it, how God has intervened, how he made the way. So this is really the message today. It doesn't matter. God can still intervene. He can still make a way. He can still come in and turn the situation around. So I just put the healthy family part there that we can see it is good and everything. And we can see that's the idea. But then also the other part, with God, we can have faith. We can still have hope for the future. We can still have hope for what is going to come. And it's actually the one guy he wrote, he said in a family, for him it's very much like, almost like Jesus that came and we're all sinners, and the choice is there for us to accept the Lord. He said in a family we're all together, we're all different people, we can make it, you can accept one another. There's no real, somebody's not going to prove themselves. My brother doesn't have to prove himself to me, he's my brother, so we're just going to make it happen. We're going to work it out. And he said, for him, it's such a beautiful example of actually what's happening in the church. Just Jesus coming to everyone and saying, this is the invitation. We can do this thing. And in a house, there's all sinners. It's not a perfect family anymore. It's not like we have four or five people that with no sin in their lives. And they're just going to have this happy family and everything is going to go well. We know all the influences from the world. We know all these things. So we can see that it's quite obvious that bad things can happen. It's not going to work out like it should. And today I'm just going to... Yeah, and I'm just so aware of just the devil that's coming. He's coming against us, walking around like a lion. And that's something that we prayed about quite a lot the last week in the office, just realizing that we are in a war. There's a kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Sorry. And we just, well, myself, I just get casual. Things are going well. So I just get casual, my relationship with the Lord. I don't pray so much and just casual. Things are going fine. But I'm still in a war. There's still a lot of things going on. And usually when something happens or some of the children suddenly they get sick and there's no real cause for it and it just continues and it's the third or the fourth day and everybody is saying they can't explain it, what is happening. And I think, hey, maybe this is like something else that's going on here. Maybe we must pray. Maybe we must have communion and pray for Gustav and do this thing and realize that we are in a war. But for us, I've just seen in the last couple of weeks that I've got casual and just assume that things are going to be okay. And we were not vigilant in the house. So now I'm a bit wakker. I'm just seeing, just praying. Don't just take things that it will work out fine. We pray about the things. I pray for my children's protection. Because when we were on leave, Lucy pushed the pram over it's quite a big drop to the river. Fortunately, she got stuck behind the one bush that was there. The pram was hovering over the river. And we were in the tent and just heard Lucy's cries. And now she's, Daddy, Daddy. And I came there and I looked and I see she just got stuck behind this one bush. So I'm thankful that I pray for my children's protection every day. Because there's obvious, it's necessary. And I'm just thankful because, yeah, we can't get too casual. So lastly, I'm just going to say that allow the Word of God to dictate our lives. Allow the Word of God to speak to you. Learn from the Word. In your homes, make it priority. Because for us, we're not going to look at all the stuff that went wrong. We look forward. We have hope in God. We have hope for a better future. Where Jesus said, I will make a river in the desert. I will make a way where there seems to be no way. That is the God we serve. That is the God that we can trust. That's why we can come and we can have testimonies of what God has done in our lives. Because we serve an almighty God. And He gave us the Word. And for me as well, I'm not telling you guys something. I must also just spend time with the Word. Just learn from it. Just learn from this Word. And show the world how to love. We have good fights in our house. But we come through there by the grace of God. Because He made a decision to love. And sometimes you must back down and say, okay, I'm wrong. Sorry. But that's working it out. That is living together. Moving forward. And we've got a responsibility to show the world love. To show how we can love one another. Different people. That the world can look at us and say, hey, it's actually working. There's something working here. I don't know what it is, but something is working. And prayer, that's just praying together. Praying together as a family. One of the best advice, if there's someone that you don't get along with, start praying for them. It's difficult. It takes time for your heart to change. But sometime, if you pray for someone often and for a long time, then you will just realize your heart starts to change towards this person. Also in families, also everybody that's with us, fighting the battle. And these are just the word, just the prayer, show the world to love, and worship. These are things that we don't do always, but if we can incorporate this into our house, it will make a difference. It will help us to have that godly family, godly house. And I just realized that we've neglected just worship in my house. So that's just something that I want to get back to. Just as a family, just put on the worship music and we just worship. And Lucy can dance and do her thing. And Gustav can do his thing. And Samuel can sit there. He's a little more quiet one. And that's fine. There's place for everyone. But they know we are worshiping now. We've put time aside to worship God. And the music is nice and loud. So that is something that I'm going to do. Because I want God to be present in my house. I know that I can't go without Him. Things are not going to work out. So these are just some of the tips. And we need to realize, if you sit here and things are not right, we need to realize that we can't just go and change things by ourselves. We can do a lot, but it's often not going to work just to do it by ourselves. My invitation is just make God part of what your situation is. Bring Jesus into the picture. Make Him part of your house. That thing that you trust for, that thing that you pray about, maybe there's something that you're thinking about now for your family or for your house. Make Jesus a part of that. Bring Him in. Because on our own, we can't do it. And there's a lot of opposition. And it's really, we make a decision to follow the Lord. Romans 15 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in love. With God, everything is possible. Mark 10, verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And that's just where I'm going to end with. All things are possible with God. It's possible for that healthy family. It's possible for the situation to turn around. It is possible. And that's what we must hold on to. We must hold on to this, to the hope, the God of hope. Hebrews 11 said, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's our faith. Holding on, believing.